Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be back as we continue reading the Word with a brand new topic of study today. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ, and we would be honored if you would come join us at any chance that you may have. We're going to begin a brand new topic of study. It's the 106th program, simply called The People of God. We're going to be in the 95th Psalm for the entirety of the time that we get to be together today, Psalm 95. I would encourage you to take your copy of the Old Testament, and actually, if you take your Bible, lay it on its spine and open it up in the middle, there's a good chance you'll wind up in Psalms. The book of Psalms is the middle of the Bible, and as you're turning there, I'd like to encourage you to visit us online at readingtheword.net. That's READING, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs, and you can find this one and any of the ones that precede it or follow it, as the case may be, anytime. You can download them, listen to them at your convenience, and share them with friends, and we'd be greatly appreciative if you would do so. Psalm 95. As we think about the Psalms and we talk about the people of God today, we need to remind ourselves that the book of Psalms, unique passage in Scripture, if you will, 150 of them, a collection of 150 different writings. Now, they're grouped together in this order, but Psalm 95 does not pick up where Psalm 94 ends, and it does not end where Psalm 96 ends. It's not like chapters in a normal book, if you will, but it stands alone. And it's Hebrew poetry. So you'll see thoughts, you'll see phrases, if you will, repeated as the way the Hebrews would build a bridge. They would make a statement, they would take it out, come back, make it again, take it a little bit further until they had accomplished their goal. Let's read, begin reading the entirety of this psalm. It's just a handful of verses, just 11, and then we'll get into the people of God here on Reading the Word. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. As we look at the people of God, now we take that phrase from Psalm 95 and verse 7, we are the people of his, or God's, pasture. Four things from Psalm 95 I notice about God's people. You ready? Number one, they are a saved people. A saved people. Notice again Psalm 95 and 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, in order for there to be salvation, one must have been saved. You see, the people of God are a saved people. They're not like the rest of the world. They're not walking around in darkness. They're not walking around trying to figure out exactly what to do. They've had their sins erased. Their sins have been forgiven them, and there is no greater blessing in the entirety of the earth than having your sins forgiven. He says, O come, sing unto the Lord. Why are we singing? Let us, this phrase you see repeated in the Bible, especially in Psalm 95, let us do what? Make a joyful noise. God wants us to sing to him because we have been saved. You know, some of the songs we sing in our songbook with regular rotation, I might add, involve us being saved, right? Salvation hath been brought down, a beautiful song that comes to mind, and others, I want Amazing Grace and whatnot. So we see, first off, the people of God are a saved people. And that rolls into our second one. Look in verse 2, they're a singing people. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. Oftentimes, the book of Psalms would have been set to a musical notation, the same way that they set the words to Amazing Grace to a musical notation, so we all know how to sing it together, right? Well, the people of God, they're saved, but they're singing. So he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. That phrase again, joyful noise. That's how God wants us to praise him. He doesn't want us to praise him with a guitar, with a praise band, with a banjo, with a chorus of singers. He wants us to all sing with a joyful noise that we make ourselves, that we offer to God, plucking, if you will, the vocal cord, not an actual instrument. But notice he says, with thanksgiving in verse 2 and verse 1, we're singing joyfully. I think about the song, we're marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne. Verse 2, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King will speak their joys abroad. See, we as Christians are to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. So we should be joyful. It irritates me to no end when I visit places, when I'm with people, and they're singing a song, praise to God, how their sins have been forgiven, and they're just sitting there, and their countenance is lowered, and they're just moping through as if they're not joyful. No, we are to be a joyful, singing people. And we are a saved people. When we return, got to take a quick break here on Reading the Word. We'll look at the last two aspects of the people of God from Psalm 95 here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Welcome back. Yes, this is Reading the Word. Let's keep going, shall we? We're in Psalm 95, program 106. We're talking about the people of God. And if you want to study this, maybe you're just now joining us, welcome. Or you want to study it again in its entirety, you can do that anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. You can click on the radio programs, find it, listen to it directly online, download it, share it with someone that you know, love, or at least tolerate. We're looking at the people of God in Psalm 95. And we see the people of God, number one, from verse 1, they are a saved people. We have a reference to the rock of salvation. We also see they are a singing people, as we've just talked about, singing joyfully to the Lord. We pick up our study now in Psalm 95 and verse number 6. The people of God are a worshiping people. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. You know, we were created in the image of God. We learned that in the first chapter and second chapter of Genesis. Created in the image of God. God doesn't look like a human being. The Spirit is the part that's created in the image of God, dear friends. But we are a worshiping people. Let us bow down. Let us worship. You know, the idea of worship, the original word means to lay one's self down, face down, in humble submission and praise to the one you're worshiping. We see that people would often do that when they encountered Christ, would they not? They would bow down before him. They would worship him. I have seen people who have been so penitent, so loving and respecting the Lord that they would literally get down and pray, and they would pray almost on bended knee, if you will. They wanted to lower themselves. That's the idea, to lower yourself to exalt the one you are worshiping. Well, here we see, let us worship and bow down. We're kneeling before the Lord our Maker. See, not only are the people of God a worshiping people, but they worship God. Now, you say, Justin, that sounds funny. I know it does, but I know of people who go to church and they assemble and they try to do it in God's name, but they hadn't assembled to worship God because they worship their band, which God didn't command us to have. They worship the preacher. You don't worship the preacher. They worship the building. You don't worship the building. They worship everything in the world, it seems, when they assemble together, but God. No. See, in Psalm 95 and 6, we bow down before the Lord our Maker. That's the people of God. They're a worshiping people. But finally, verse number 7, at least the first sentence of that, and then we'll look at our conclusion. The people of God are a shepherded people, verse 7, or they have a shepherd. For he is our God, who? The Lord our Maker, verse 6. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. We are the shepherded people. That means we are led by God. Now, he doesn't come thump us on the head, but he leads us through his word, through his institution, the church, and the church ordinance, and church leadership with the elders and the deacons and the servants. We see that we are a shepherded people. Now, of course, when I think of shepherding, two things. First one I think of is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He leads me. And though through the valley of darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I think about the wonderful nature of having a shepherd that walks with me every step of the way. Also think about the book of the gospel account of John in the 10th chapter where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." See, he's the one that we follow today. He says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice." How do I know his voice? By reading what he said to do and to follow it. Jesus said, if I want to be a good sheep, I'm going to do that. So we see the people of God, Psalm 95, are a saved people, a singing people, a worshiping people, and a shepherded people. But pick back up in verse 7 as we close this out. Because the way it's broken up for us, we have the first clause of a sentence that continues through verse 8 and 9. He says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." Now, we just talked about the sheep and how the sheep must listen to the shepherd. Today, we as sheep must listen to the good shepherd. If you will hear his voice, you sheep who are shepherded people, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, literally in Hebrew contention. As in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and they saw my work. He's talking about the wilderness wandering 40 years. He says he was grieved at that generation. That happens in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. But notice, when is the time that I should obey God? Today. Today, if you will hear his voice. Isaiah says, today is the day of salvation. The Hebrew writer copies it and adds to it, says, today is the day of salvation. Now, we sing another song in the hymn book, an invitation song frequently. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delaying. Repent and confess and be baptized. There is no other way. Give Jesus your life and thus walk in his way. Tomorrow may be too late. Dear friends, I want to encourage you to be the people of God, to be a shepherded people, to listen to the good shepherd, to be a worshiping people. Attend worship every chance you get. Give your whole heart and soul into it. Be a singing people, not only at worship, but throughout your life. Sing His praises and make sure you are a saved people by submitting to Him, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, then being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what we see from the 95th Psalm, and I appreciate spending this time in God's Word together today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin a brand new topic of study. I encourage you once again to go online anytime at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on the radio programs. This is number 106, The People of God. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.